called How to Have a Relationship with God, and we're going through the book of Deuteronomy to understand how to have that relationship. And the title for today is Love the Lord Your God, and we're going to be going through Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. And so why don't we take this time right now to take out our Bibles, and if you do have a Bible, whether it be on your phone or whether you're using the church's Bible, why don't we bring it all out and turn our Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 5, and we'll begin reading from verse 6. And children, if you have a Bible with you also, that would be great if you guys can open up a Bible, or if you don't have one, maybe you can ask your parents to look with you. That would be great. Deuteronomy is the fifth book from the very beginning. And if you do have one of these church Bibles in front of you, you can open up to page 150. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 6 to 11. And children, if you're watching online also, I'm hoping that you guys can also focus on the sermon today. And for all of you children that are here in the service today, maybe your parents have something that you guys could do at this time, but if not, that's okay. I hope that you guys will be able to focus on what I'm talking about and see how much you can remember. See how much you can remember so that you can share with your parents. Maybe your parents won't remember. So let's see how much you can remember and you can share with your parents after the service is over. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. This is the reading of God's word. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. All right, well, all you children, if you guys can all maybe put your focus to the front right now. And I'm going to lead us in a song. And for those of you children that were joining us in the kids sing-along time, you guys know this song. You guys don't even need to look up front. You guys know this song already. So children, why don't we sing this song together? Do I need to turn this on? Okay. Children, why don't we sing out loud and let's teach all the adults how to sing this song, all right? Let's show them that we know the books of the New Testament. And then everyone else, if you know this song, please sing along, all right? Can I get a pick? All right, so children, sing as loud as you can, okay? Ready? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts, and the letter to the Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians and Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus and Philemon, Hebrews and the book of James, 1st and 2nd Peter, 1st and 2nd 3rd John, Jude and Revelation. All right, let's sing that again from the beginning. All right, children, if you guys could sing a little bit louder so I can hear you, all right? Let's try. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts and the letter to the Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians and Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus and Philemon, Hebrews and the book of James, 1st and 2nd Peter, 1st and 2nd 3rd John, Jude and Revelation. All right, good job everyone. All right, so children, I'm speaking to you guys right now. The title for today's sermon is To Love the Lord Your God. Now, in today's passage that we read, it's going through the first three commandments of the Ten Commandments. And the way that God wants us to love Him is by obeying Him. And we want to do our best to obey these first three commands. Now, I'm going to be talking about the three commands to the adults, but the thing that I want to talk to you guys about is that when you are loved by your parents, you know, sometimes the parents, maybe your parents, they're not so nice at times. And maybe sometimes they are really nice to you. They give you good food to eat, but then sometimes they don't give you good food to eat. I mean, they think it's good, but you know it's not good in your heart. But you know, your parents, they love you so much. They love you so much. And they're doing so much to show you that they love you, and sometimes they say that they love you. And so when you receive that love, try to remember all the good times that your parents, they showed their love to you. And when they do show their love to you, doesn't that make you want to also show love to other people? You know, actually, the way that God wants us to love Him is not only loving Him, but also loving other people. And so, you know, one way to understand God's love for us is to think about how our parents, they loved us. And like I said, sometimes our parents, they don't really show in the best way how they love us. But you know what? There is our Father in heaven that really loves you more than your parents could ever love you. And again, your parents are really trying their best. But there is a God in heaven that loves you perfectly. And so when you receive God's love, trust in Him that He does love you. And you can also begin to love other people. All right, well, like I said, children, that's about it for your portion. But then when you try to listen to what I'm talking about for the rest of the time, try to listen carefully and try to think about what were the main points. What's the main idea? And let's see if you can remember more than your parents, all right? So now I'm going to speak to all the adults. First of all, I want to start off by saying that today's sermon, I am going to focus a lot more on speaking to you who are believers, you who are Christian, who call yourselves Christian. And so for those of you that aren't Christian, I want you to just go ahead and listen and listen to what the Christians are supposed to be listening to and consider the things that are being talked about. And if you have any questions about the sermon today, you can go ahead and ask the church, and I'm even willing to meet with you myself, and we could talk about what we talk about today. For those of you that are Christian, a lot of times what we've heard is that we are supposed to have a relationship with God. And I know the sermon title is called How to Have a Relationship with God, but you know, and we've been talking about how to have a relationship with God, but then sometimes having a relationship with God is kind of too abstract. It doesn't really, we don't really know how to apply this in our everyday lives. And so, like, let me just ask a question. In your everyday life, how do you demonstrate your love for the Lord? Our title again today is Love the Lord Your God. How do you demonstrate love for the Lord? What are some of the things that you do regularly to show that you love God? Think about that a little bit. Well, we're going to be talking about that today. And so why don't we just dive right in and talk about the main idea. The main idea for today is love the Lord your God. And the three points that we'll be going over are the third commandment, the second commandment, and the first commandment. Easy to remember, right? We're not going to be going in order, and there's a reason for that, and I hope you guys will be able to catch on as we go through the passage today. Once again, the main idea for today is to love the Lord your God And we're going to be going through the first three commandments in reverse order. Now, just as I explained to the children, these are the first three commandments of the Ten Commandments. And in past sermons, I talked about, in terms of having a relationship with God, Deuteronomy is written in a way that's similar, not exactly the same, but similar to how ancient pacts, ancient contracts were made to have a relationship between two nations. And so what we find in these contracts, these things called covenants, is that there is an explanation of the history between the two parties, and then there's an explanation of what all the rules and all the guidelines are that define this relationship. And then in the end, it may have some blessings and curses if these guidelines are followed, if these rules are followed. Or if they're not followed, then there are these curses that are talked about. Also, in previous sermons, I talked about how there's this thing called the covenant of works, and how originally our relationship with God was that if we obeyed Him, we would receive blessings, but if we disobeyed Him, there would be curses. But then if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you are no longer under the covenant of works, but you are under the covenant of grace. And so what that means is that you are already blessed. You already are blessed by the Lord, and because of Jesus Christ and what He's accomplished, there's abundant blessings upon you. And so now that there are blessings upon us and we trust in what Jesus Christ has accomplished for us, that motivates us to now want to go and bless others. And all the curses that were talked about in the covenant of works are not placed on us any longer, but they're all placed on Jesus Christ. And so once again, we're talking about how to have a relationship with God, and the rules and regulations that are defined in the book of Deuteronomy that we're supposed to follow start off with the Ten Commandments. And everything else that follows the Ten Commandments is a further explanation of these original Ten Commandments. And so we're going to be going through the first three commandments, and today and next week we're going to go through the fourth commandment. And the reason why we divide it this way is because the first four commands have to do with our relationship with God, and the latter six commands have to do with our relationship with other people. Okay, so this is good to keep in mind. The Ten Commandments, the first four commands, are about how we have a relationship with God, and the latter six commands have to do with how we have a relationship with other people. So today we're going to be talking all about how to have a relationship with God, except the fourth commandment. We're going to save that for next week. All right, so let's dive right into the third commandment. Okay, and so in our passage today, we're going to find the third commandment in verse 11. And it says, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain." Now, if you've been a Christian for a while, you might hear this command and you might think, oh yeah, you're supposed to be careful about using God's name. And so make sure you don't say stuff like, oh my God. Make sure you don't say stuff like Jesus Christ. You know, oh man, I'm saying it even right now. Okay. Make sure you don't say these words because you're using God's name in vain. And, instead of saying that, you might want to say something like, oh my goodness, because then you're not using God's name in vain. Or, you know, some people might want to say, instead of saying that, you could say, oh my Gandhi. Or, oh my Biden. Just switch the name out to something else, and then you won't be breaking this commandment. Right? Well, here's the thing. A lot of times, we just want to hear the very basic idea of what the command is, and just to think, am I able to keep this command? If I am, then phew, I don't have to worry about God's curses. But just as Jesus Christ went deeper with some of these Ten Commandments, we want to go deeper and deeper into these commandments. And what we're going to find is that actually all of us, we break all of these commandments quite often. And the goal is not to try to find whether or not you're able to keep the command. The goal actually is to recognize that we fail often and that we need our God in our lives. We need our Lord Jesus Christ. So let's go a little bit deeper with this command. You know, one way to understand this command a little bit more deeply is by going to something called the Westminster Larger Catechism. The Westminster Larger Catechism is a document that was used to help educate Christians on what the faith is all about. And so if you have not looked at the Westminster Confession of Faith, the Westminster Shorter Catechism, or the Westminster Larger Catechism, I really encourage you guys to go and search these documents online and to look through it. There's a lot of detail in there, and you could learn a lot about our Christian faith from these documents. Now, admittedly, there's a lot of things in there that's a little bit more difficult to understand. And so if you have any questions about it, feel free to ask me anytime. Now, I'm not going to read through the whole thing. But the way that the Westminster Larger Catechism is set up is that it's set up in a question and answer form. And one of the wonderful things about the Westminster Larger Catechism is that it goes through the Ten Commandments, and it doesn't just say, this is what the command is, and so follow it. It doesn't say that. It actually breaks it up into, now that we have this command, what are the things that we're not supposed to do? Right? This command that we're looking at today, right now is, you shall not take the name of the Lord, your God, in vain. So it goes through what you're not supposed to do, but it also goes through, given this command, what are you supposed to do? And so it goes through each command, and it tells us what you're not supposed to do and what you are supposed to do. And that's great. And so I just want to ask you guys just to glance through this. What are the sins forbidden in the third commandment? And then it begins to list things out. It says, not using God's name as is required and the abuse of it in an ignorant, vain, irreverent, profane, superstitious, or wicked mention. And then it has all these other bullet points listed out. You could just kind of glance through that. But then there's a couple that I want to point out. It says, murmuring and quarreling at, curious, prying into, or misapplying God's decrees. It's not just about his name, right? Misapplying his decrees and providence. There's another one there at the very bottom, profane jests. Curious or unprofitable questions, vain disputes, maintaining false doctrines. Okay, and then there's more here. The second point, maligning, scorning, reviling, or in any way opposing God's truth, grace, and his ways. And there's a few more here. Let me just stop here and just say, you know, this command, even though we want to think it's just about how we use God's name, it's not just about that. There's so much more. What is required in the third command? Let's see what it says about what's required. It says, the third commandment requires that the name of God, his titles, his attributes, ordinances, the word, sacraments, prayer, oaths, vows, lots, his works, and whatever else there is by which he makes himself known, be treated as holy and reverently used in thought, meditation, word, and writing by a profession of faith accompanied by holiness and a consistent lifestyle to the glory of God and the good of ourselves and others. Okay, what does all that mean? What is all that saying? When we go deeper into understanding what the name of God meant to the people back then, what we can find is that the name of God was not just the name. Like, who cares if my name is Peter or George? You know? For us today, our name doesn't really mean much. But for people back then, the name actually described who the person was. Now, I'm not talking about the meaning of the name. I'm talking about when you mention a person's name, then you're also talking about what that person is all about. You're talking about who that person is. And so when we misuse God's name, or the command here, it's talking about misusing God's name. What it's talking about is not just how we use his name, but it's talking about how we think about who God is. When he says he is a certain kind of God, that he's a loving God, a just God, do we really trust and understand and believe that this is who God really is? the question that we can maybe ask ourselves is, what do you really think of God? No matter what God has said to you, or rather, as you hear about all of who God is and what he's done in the past, the way that we could apply this command today is by asking the question, what do you think of God? And compare it to what the Bible says God, who God actually is. Are you misunderstanding God, or are you blaming God for not being a certain way? Even though God has said that he is a loving God who is with you. You know, one way that maybe we can understand this idea of the name meaning more than just a name is like when maybe some of us, we have a certain name and we were made fun of as kids because of that name. My name is really easy to make fun of because there are little nursery rhymes like Peter, Peter, pumpkin eater, had a wife and couldn't keep her. And they would just say this over and over and they would make fun of my name, right? And some of you guys have gone through that, and maybe it was a really, really, maybe for some of you it was a really traumatizing thing that happened to you. And sometimes it's these kids that are just being mean. Maybe it's their fault, or sometimes it's the parents' fault. I mean, I heard a story, I don't know if it's true or not, but some kids' names were Orangelo and Yelangelo. But the way that it's spelled out, it's orange jello and yellow jello. And the kids would make fun of their names, right? This idea of like when people don't really represent us in a right way, and they're going against us. They're using our name to do that. They're calling us names and things like that. Some of us, we can understand what that's like, and that's what this passage is getting at. So what do you really think about God? You know, I had a friend a while back who came to me and wanted to speak to me. I was a pastor at a campus. This was over 10 years ago. And this brother, a student, came up to me and he would share with me about how he was really struggling with the fact that he felt like God really didn't care about him. He felt like God wasn't working in his life. He felt like no matter how much he prayed to God and no matter how much he was diligent in reading the Bible, he just felt like God wasn't there, that God didn't care. So I really tried to talk to him, and I would pray with him and things like that. And as he was saying these things, you know, in his heart, of course it's okay to go before God and voice your complaints and share with him about how difficult things are, and you can share with God and complain to God about who he is. But then in that act, what this student, my friend, was doing was that he was speaking against God's name. When he was saying that God didn't care about him, that's not true. He was speaking against God's character. When he was saying that God didn't love him and that God wasn't there for him, that's not true. And so in that way, this friend of mine was sinning against God by using the Lord's name in vain, by talking about God in a way that wasn't true. Now, why did my friend go through that? Why would he even begin to say things like this? Maybe some of you guys may identify with my friend, and some of you guys may have said some of these similar words. Or maybe you're going through a completely different kind of situation, but then you've said something about God, about Jesus, that is not who God actually is according to the Bible. And we have to ask ourselves, why? Why do we do this? Well, this is where we come to our second point, the second command. Actually, what we find is maybe there's something even deeper that's going on. Now the second command says this, you shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is on the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. Okay, so before going in, diving deeper into what was going on with my friend's life, let me just say, when we look at this second command, on the surface, what we normally do is we say, yeah, you're not supposed to make any idols. Well, I don't make idols like this guy. Okay, I was walking around in Taiwan in an area called Wanhua, and I was going to visit a friend named Eric Pilsen, and Eric Pilsen is actually joining us in our service today. He's a wonderful brother who's wanting to plant a church in Wanhua. And, you know, he's a dear brother. I want to encourage you guys to get to know him. His family's actually sitting in the back, and I think he went out with his youngest daughter just to watch over her. I was going to his coffee shop that he opened up, and he's hoping to start to share the gospel with people through the coffee shop. I was walking toward the coffee shop, and I found this guy, and in his little store inside, you see a bunch of idols, and that's a wooden idol that he was chipping away at. And he's making an idol. And I was like, oh man, I've never seen this before. Someone outside just chipping away at this idol. So I took a picture without him knowing. You can see he's kind of faced away, focusing on his work. And this is what we normally think about when we think about the second command. I'm not that guy, so whew, I'm okay. But we need to go a little bit deeper. We need to ask what's really going on deeper in our hearts. So again, let's go back to the larger catechism. So it says, what are the sins forbidden in the second commandment? The sins forbidden in the second commandment are the following. And there's a long list again. All devising, counseling, commanding, using, and otherwise approving any religious worship not instituted by God himself. Tolerating a false religion. Making any representation of God of all or of any of the three persons, either inwardly in our mind or outwardly, in any kind of image or likeness of any creature at all. Okay, stop right here. Whoa. This is something that maybe a lot of us don't think about. When we think about making an idol, we usually think about what we just saw in the picture. But what we don't think about is that making an idol can maybe be about making a physical image of God himself. That also is forbidden. But it's not only just about making these physical idols. It's also about how you worship, what you worship. Because as we see in our passage today, it says, you shall not make for yourself a carved image. But then also in verse 9, it says, you shall not bow down to them or serve them. This second command is not just about making idols, but it's about your choice to worship something else that's not God, or to make God into something that's not God and to worship that God. It goes on, it even includes superstitious activities, corrupting the worship of God, buying or selling religious privileges. And then the second question is, what are the duties required in the second commandment? The duties required in the second commandment. And then it goes on. Let's see. It says, receiving, observing, keeping pure and whole all such religious worship and ordinances as God has instituted in his word, particularly prayer and thanksgiving in the name of Christ. And it goes on, it includes, how do you worship God? How do you keep in mind who the real God is? Reading, preaching, and hearing the word, administration and receiving of the sacraments, church government and discipline, church ministry and the support of it, religious fasting, swearing by the name of God and vowing to him, and disapproving, detesting, and opposing of all false worship and in accord with one's role in this life and calling, removing false worship and all monuments of idolatry. Okay, so that's a lot. What is all this saying? basically, you can bring it down to one question. The third commandment, you can ask the question, what do you think of God? But the second command, you can summarize it by saying, what is God? And also, I didn't write it up here, but, and also, how do you worship God? You could bring it down to these two questions. Now, here's the thing. Going back to my friend was complaining, God, where are you? I've been searching for you. I've been reading the Bible. I've been doing all these things. I've been praying. But God, it seems like you don't love me. It seems like you don't care about me. And I would ask him, why do you say that? Why do you say that God doesn't love you, that God doesn't care about you? And his answer was, you know, it's because I got kicked out of school, and I want to get back into school, and I've been trying to find a job, and I've been trying to make a way to pay for my schooling. I want to be able to get back into school and to pay for my schooling, but nothing's working out. And so basically what my friend was doing was that because of the circumstances, because of how things were not working out in his life, he started to doubt God and started to think that God doesn't love him, God doesn't care about him, God is not with him, no matter how much he reads his Bible and prays, that God doesn't care about him. And I would ask him, you know, If God gave you all these things, do you think that you would really begin to have full confidence in God and that you would love him and do all these things for him and you would believe that God loves you and all that kind of stuff? And he said, of course, yes. But we know that even if we have everything that we want, even if everything works out, there are still a lot of times where we're still chasing after stuff. You know, with my friend, it wasn't that he was really chasing after God. What he was doing was he was chasing after the idea of wanting to get back into school, the idea of wanting to have his job to be able to pay for his schooling so that other people wouldn't look down on him. So that he could say of himself that yes, I got into school and I am a successful person and I could go out and share with people that, you know, I don't have to share with them about how I failed. I could share with them about how good I was and how my life turned out so well. And so what he ended up doing was that he started to redefine God into a type of God that he wanted to worship, a God that would give into these desires of him. To give into his desires and say, okay, I'll give you whatever you want. And instead of turning to God and saying, God, I'll live for however you want me to live. Whatever circumstance you put me through, I am willing because I know that you are God. I know that you are good. I know that you're with me. No matter what I'm going through, I know that you're working for my good. Instead of saying that, what he ended up saying was, God, unless you give me these things, I'm not going to trust in you. I'm not going to believe in you. I'm going to believe that you're some other God. And what he ended up doing was he made an idol of this idea of being respected, of succeeding in school. He made an idol of these things and he started bowing to these things. He started to focus so much of his attention, his thoughts, his time of how he's going to write his application, of how he was going to explain these things to other people. He spent so much time on these things, it was like he was worshiping these things. And basically what he was doing to God was he was saying, God, you better come and give me what I want and help me to live according to my idols, what my idols want. Well, this is what the Bible says. Don't make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or on the earth below. You shouldn't bow to them or serve them because I am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. And then even in the next verse, in verse 11, it says, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. For those people that continue to go down the road of misinterpreting who God is, for those people who continue to go down the road of spending so much time on these other things in our lives and worshiping those things rather than really looking to God and worshiping God, God says he will punish. He will visit the iniquity even to the third and fourth generation. And just to explain this idea, what it means is that back then, people would live together in the same household. You would see three, maybe even sometimes four generations in the same household. And so when the father of the household would make a decision and say, we are going to focus on this, we're going to worship this God, the rest of the household would follow suit. And everyone in that household, it's not like they were saying, oh, I'm not sure. They would go along with the father of the household, the head of the household, and they would all worship their idols together. And so when God would wipe out, in the Old Testament, God would show that this was not right, and he would punish them, then the whole household, even to the third and fourth generation, they would all be dealt with. But here's the thing that I want us to focus on. For those people that continue on this route of not trusting in the God that's talked about in the Bible, for those people, that continue to trust in their own ways and to trust in their own idols and the promises of the world that if you just work hard, you will succeed. If you just work hard, people will recognize how great you are and you'll be happy. You just need to work hard and you will have everything that you want in retirement. For those people that continue to go down that route and not turn their eyes toward God, God will punish. And as we come to the first command is, you shall have no other gods before me. See, the thing is that when people put their focus and their attention on all these other things and they're demanding God to fulfill their wants and their desires, basically they're putting themselves in a position of saying, I am God, not you, God. And God's first command is, you shall have no other gods. Don't declare yourself to be God. Don't act in a way as if I'm going to work for your glory. I am God. Remember, I am God. But if you are here today as a Christian, you don't have to worry about those curses. Remember, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, we are no longer in the covenant of works. But we are living, we can live according to the covenant of grace. And what that means is that the good news is that when we talk about the Ten Commandments, we don't have to start with this first command of you shall have no other gods before me. But every time the Ten Commandments are mentioned, we start with verse 6. And this is what it says. It says, I am the Lord your God. Sorry, verse 6. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. God says, no matter how you treat me, no matter how you've treated me, I am your God. I've determined this, and I already rescued you from Egypt. I've already rescued you from the house of slavery. And that was for the people of the Israelites. The Israelites back then, they were able to see that they were not in Egypt anymore. They were out of slavery. And for us today that are Christians, we can look back on what Jesus Christ has done for us. Jesus has set us free from slavery. We are no longer bound to have to fall into our sin any longer. We are set free. And so whenever temptations come our way to break any of these commands, we always have an option to come out of that temptation. And God even gives us the power and the motivation to be able to come out of that temptation. You know, when we're driven by these things that are like success or wanting other people's approval, what God says is that because of what Jesus Christ has accomplished on the cross, dying for your sins, you no longer have to hold on to that guilt, and you are no longer a slave, but you are a child of God. And you don't have to worry about what other people say. I approve of you. And I am working in your life to bring about success the way that I define it. And so you don't have to chase after those other idols anymore. You can have full confidence that I am your father. You are no longer a slave. You are a child of God. And the wonderful thing is that when God brought the people out of slavery, the Israelites out of Egypt, one of the last things that they did was that they slaughtered a lamb and they spread the blood of the lamb on the doorposts, on the wooden doorposts. And that was pointing to the future where Jesus Christ would one day hang on a cross and his blood would be spread out all over the wooden cross. Jesus Christ, he was willing to die on the cross for our sins. He was willing to die for us. And he rose again from the dead so that we can have a relationship with our Father. And so if that's the case, brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you guys to live for the Lord. Remember that our God is a great and powerful God. Remember that our God is a God of love, that our God is with you. He has said that I will be with you even to the very end of the age. Our God is doing a powerful work in your life and even through you. God wants to use you to see his word go forth. And so as God has blessed us, as God has loved us, receive that love and then begin to share that love with other people. Some of you might ask, how do I know that God loved me? Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, sinning against God, Christ died for us. Just a couple quick applications. You know, one way to keep in mind who God is, and one way to even encourage one another about who God is and to remember who he is so that we're not using his name in vain, so that we're not seeing God in vain, or so that we're not making idols of other things. One of the ways that we can really remind ourselves and encourage each other is actually by making the choice of coming to the front and sharing your testimony. But you don't necessarily have to do it up front. You could share your testimony with other people when you guys go out to lunch together and just share with each other about how God has been working in your life. But another thing is that I want to encourage everyone to encourage all of our friends in friendship and to encourage other people that aren't a part of friendship to continue to go back to church. We've been away from each other. But encourage one another to keep coming back to the church. Keep coming back. Don't just join online. Joining online is great. But go to a church that's in your local area. Come back to the church and continue to grow together. Continue to encourage one another. And let's remind each other of who our great God is, and so that we would love the Lord our God together. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much that you are truly a God of grace, that even while we're still sinners, even though we are sinning against you, you chose to die on the cross for us. I thank you, dear Lord, for your wonderful love and your grace and all the things that you are. Allow us, Lord, to continue to remember by your Spirit. Lord, I know that you're working in us to remind us. Thank you for that. I pray that you would remind us of how great you are and how you are a God of justice and a God of love and how you are working in our lives. Lord, increase our faith today for your glory. I pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.